Well, thank you. Today, I'd like to share with you my dream and my journey at Padua Station. When I first, for a Singaporean, it's difficult to imagine us want to get involved in agriculture because we never had. It wasn't in our DNA, and it wasn't really something that we were trained as a kid to do. But when I was looking at the world's economy, how it's going, and the emerging middle class in Asia, and the requirement and the shortage of high-value protein, we feel that it's almost a no-brainer that we need to get involved into that sector. So that was in year 2014 that I decided to do that. And I traveled to Australia and initially in the East Coast to look at opportunities and projects available. And of course, out of the 29 million cattle in Australia, actually 10 and a half was over in Queensland. So the bulk of my early days was spent towards Queensland. However, what attracted me to WA was the project itself. When I first saw Padua Station, it was just a typical small Pilbara farm, dry, arid, low yielding. In the last 150 years of existence, have been essentially doing the same model. Send them out, come back in a year, sort it out, sell it, hopefully the drought doesn't come, and then see whether I made money. All right. But I saw a little more to this station. Underneath the station is Canning Basin. So this is the second largest underground water source. And that's where it exits into the Indian Ocean. And because of that, certain parts of the station, actually, if you drill a bore, have positive pressure. That means water just come up around 30 meters high, and you don't have to pump. Now, that changed the economics of turning it around. So traditionally, all our northern farmers are working with roughly live export, getting 800 to $1,000 an animal. And that's our business because feed run out a certain time of the year. We need to get it out of the system. However, I venture to say, and we now actually in the first round of proving that we now, out of our animal, if we feed them properly with grain and box them, and actually even before we brand them, we have been able to market them at $6,000 to $8,000 an animal. So that is a big, big quantum change of what we were doing with both Bosinicus animals to changing it into a purebred Wagyu animals up north. And in the last 2.5 years, we venture on a massive very rapid building program. We have built 20 pivots up in the north and on the north side of the highway. And of course, we have more planned, maybe about 20, 30 more planned in the south side of the highway. So, now, currently, we are carrying about well, our carrying capacity have also dramatically improved, all right? From traditionally, we were carrying, when I first purchased, we were carrying 5,300 animals. Now on Padu is about 14,000. And when the next phase is done, we should be carrying close to 40,000 animals. So you can see the transformation from one station, the output, and the value change potentially could make these farms 30 to 40 times what the production value could be. These are some of the pictures of our current animals. Now, we have not been able to change all our animals into purebred Wagyu yet, because WA have very straight biosecurity, so the breeders available is very difficult to increase. So we were lucky to be able to find a station up east, and they have committed all their heifers to be able to sell to us, and then we ship them out from Northern Territory. And we currently have about roughly about 4,500, 5,000 animals. We picture we should reach about 30 to 35,000 in about 6 to 8 years' time through our own breeding and also further purchases. But we feel that to further value add, we will need to further improve the branding of our product. So the branding of it could only be improved by quality. So I went back to the original exporter of Japanese Wagyu genetics, who now currently is a 91-year-old man, Takeda-san, but very, very alert. And I went back to him, and I spoke to him a few years ago, and he agreed to help. Little did I know that he really didn't believe what I'm going to do. And last year he came and spoke to Roger Cook, and he told Roger Cook over dinner, he said, "The first time I saw a very wild man coming into my home, spoke to me in English that I don't understand for 5 hours, telling me that he's going to go to the desert, drill a hole, create grass, and feed my animal. I thought it was crazy." But out of Japanese politeness, I let him stay in my home for 5 hours. And I told him, "I'll help you." But I didn't believe. But he said, after 2.5 years of his visit, I came and I saw the animals on there. And they're doing extremely well. And now, actually, I believe. So what he did further is, he went to his genetic bank and gave me some of the best of the best in his little bank. And he has about 5,000 or 6,000 straws of a gene called TF148, which is no longer existing in the world. And then he said, "I'll give you 4,000. Which is unheard of, because this is, so now we are AIing up north to further improve that base herd of ours. And hopefully we can increase the marbling capability of this herd into from what we which currently we do is about 6.5 to 7.5 is our target over the next 2 years. And incidentally, he still intend to come next year at 93. So with the help of the state government, We are blessed it with a national resource of water, and the resource that we are using it diligently, and we have now created the 18 pivots, and by the end of December, we should have 20 pivots going. And we are working with two aquifers, the Canning Basin, the deep Wallow aquifer, and the shallow, more like the Broome aquifer. So I think one point that I want to make is, if we look at this, why do we pick Pilbara? Is on top of the water, that's not the only resource available there. Port Hedland is blessed with the longest average daylight hours. So if you think of a blade of grass is a solar panel, all right? So you essentially have that long hours of production of into growth, so that we actually can have high growth and transforming it into dry matter, into cattle weight. Now, we hope that we will, through our project, we will change the thinking of our neighbors so that we would be able to serve as a drought-proofing station, a genetic outflow station, and a joint marketing a project that we will work together to transform Pilbara from a normal Bosinicus cattle industry into a purebred Wagyu industry. So to give you a very quick outcome, that this is the outcome that I want to draw at, is before I retired, I hope by in the 2031 is the target that the government want me to do, but I think sometime within that that decade, we hope to accomplish 100,000 purebred animals in Pilbara, and with that together, we would be able to create 750 full-time employment, new full-time employment, and a $1.8 billion industry out of Pilbara. Thank you.